Bonjour, je suis Olivier Panis et vous m'écoutez, l'article est pour F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 671, January 14th, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Greetings and 2015 racing regards. Welcome to podcast numero uno of the new year.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, NASCAR and Assassins. Formula E in the U.S. of A. Happy 80th birthday to A.J. Foyt. And be prepared for McLaren Honda not winning in 2015. Of course, get your 2015 F1 calendar from the F1 Weekly merchandise page now, and we have a good Motorsports Mondial from the King, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. How are things in Cali?
Everything is wonderful. People are excited. What else can you do? It's the new year. Happy New Year to everyone. We're all excited over here.
Yeah, I can see you were again involved in the anti-football rally.
Correct. I almost forgot all about that. Yes, very fun stuff. Get the car out of the mothballs in the garage and go for a nice drive on New Year's Day. These things happen all over the country and all over the world. People and their vintages.
There you go. It's very, very rare we start a program with NASCAR, so you must have some over-the-top informazione.
Well, I don't have over-the-top information, but when Kurt Busch says that his wife is an assassin, and he's very serious. It's interesting. This whole thing is stemmed from a domestic violence. She's trying to get a court order so he doesn't or can't approach her or be within her environs or what have you. I'm not sure what that's called. He has sworn on the stand under oath that she is a assassin that goes around the globe killing evil.
Is she from Syria?
No, she's not from Syria, but she's serious.
Yeah, then she must be from Savannah, Georgia.
It's either that or Manteca, California.
Oh, that was, you know, funny you say that. I was thinking about it yesterday, Clark, how we went and met Scott Speed's mom and grandmother, and very nice and kind of them to give us time.
And that was at the beginning of the F1 Weekly pod, as we would call it. We were so green behind the ears at that time.
Wow.
But it was exciting. Those were exciting days. And I have to congratulate the F1 Weekly staff, because this will be our 10th year in existence, Nasser.
Wow.
The irony is, what do we have to show for it?
We have to show love from our family members from all over the world, including, of course, the United States. I think that's fantastic, Clark.
I think it is fantastic. 10 years, and you know what they say, once you get through your first year, you're going to be okay.
Yes.
So
that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. We're still alive. And it's funny, but the bank account remains the same. 000.
Wow.
So it's amazing what you can do with very little.
Well, you got to have the heart and the desire to make things happen.
That's true. You have to have the heart and the desire, and that's pretty much how we live here.
Si, senor.
Yes, so exciting stuff. But no, the assassin story was really mind-blowing. It kicked it up a notch. I mean, I can deal with Dale Earnhardt's missing suit or what have you, or Juan Pablo Montoya hitting the jet-propelled cleaning machine on the track. I can understand the shoe and Danica Patrick. But the assassin, that just put it over the top for me. That was fantastic because Kurt Busch could literally say, "Caution! My wife is an assassin."
Wasn't she working or still working for the U.S. Air Force?
No, she works for a private security firm similar to Blackwater.
Oh, yeah. So what do you expect?
Yes, yes, yes. But you know what? Those jobs need to be filled, Nasser.
Oh, yeah.
I say more power to her, and she's probably pretty exciting stuff after a couple of belts of Maker's Mark.
Nice point, Clark.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyway, let's move on. Formula E, we had an exciting race in Bidozer.
Yes, I enjoyed it very much, and it was kind of a small street circuit, but it was good and unbelievable. You know, the guy who had no idea he's going to win, Antonio Felix da Costa, ends up winning. And, of course, he is Dr. Miguel's homeboy, so congratulations to Felix and Dr. Miguel. Did you enjoy the race, Senor?
Absolutely. And Buemi on pole, it's interesting. Pole position in Formula E, they just never win.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but Buemi still doing an outstanding job. And, of course, we have to give everybody the bad news about Franck Montagny booted out of the Formula E series because of an old Eric Clapton song.
Yeah. And we're not talking Layla, you got me on my knees.
I know. It's interesting. Cocaine. Man, some people like, you know, it's old fashioned.
Yeah.
You don't hear people getting booted out of racing for cocaine.
Yeah, you know, Tomas Enge was also booted out some years ago, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
The Czech driver, he was also in Formula One briefly. You know, what amazes me, Clark, is these people, it takes so much hard work, good timing and luck to get to, you know, Franck Montagny race in Formula One, few races, to be part of a motor racing which goes global, and you're going to screw it up by sniffing some fine Colombian.
I know. It could have been Peruvian, though.
Yeah. Or Bolivian from David Tapia.
Exactly, from La Paz.
Yeah.
But no, very sad story, and it looks like we won't be seeing the likes of Montagny for a long time. I think he's already working at the Carrefour.
No, actually, his father, just like Komui Kobayashi's father, owns a restaurant in south of France. I think it's called the Paddock or something like that. So he can be a, you know, busy busboy there.
That's good. I'm glad these people have fathers that have some success and they could get a job.
Yeah, but you know, a heavy ban is expected from FIA, and at the Argentine round he was replaced by Marco Andretti, which means he's driving once again for L'Equipe Papita.
Monsieur Michael Andretti. Marco Andretti is excited. He's going to do probably Miami and Long Beach.
Yeah, but you know, since we are on the subject of drugs and cocaine, let me just give some news. Some of our listeners may remember a driver from the 70s and 80s, Randy Lanier. There was a big drug bust in the IMSA racing series in the 1980s, and he was sentenced to life without parole because he wouldn't throw people under the bus. And a few weeks ago, with some plea bargaining, this and that, he was released from prison. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah, no, I'm happy he's out. And once you've paid your dues to society, you deserve a fair shake.
Yeah. So maybe he can become Franck Montagny's manager.
That's perfect. Perfect. No, they could love each other.
Yeah, you know, these people and John Paul Jr., Sr., they can start their own series called Formula C.
Exactly. Sponsored by Eric Clapton.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Anyway, luckily, it looks like Renault and Ferrari have won, finding the loophole in the rules. So they're at it right now, trying to improve those motors. And Honda is hoping to get a break and be able to do just what Ferrari and Renault are doing instead of having to build to 2014. You know, there's a little, you know, they don't want to be falling behind, especially when you're paying Fernando's salary. We don't want to see Fernando sad again.
Well, you know, I was very surprised because this whole new engine system and hybrid system all came last year. And, you know, whether it's engine freeze or unfreeze, good lawyers and engineers will always find loopholes. And as you say, Honda has been left out in the rain. But I'm sure sooner or later, the good lord of Formula One, Bernie, will bring a few umbrellas of Chef Boo to the McLaren Honda camp. But because, you know, I want everybody to have a level playing field and see who comes out with the best package.
I just want to see Fernando out front.
Fernando.
He's El hombre.
What happened to the love for Renault?
Renault's done. Let me put it this way. I think Grosjean said it best. They messed up.
They can unmess their stuff, you know.
I know. I'm not worried about it. You know what? Red Bull will be fighting at the front with Mercedes. I don't think we're going to see huge sweeps of change. I think the biggest thing to look out for is obviously Williams.
Well, I have news for you. The media keeps saying that Mercedes will extend their advantage, which could only mean championship number 3 for LCH. And thank you. And more messages from Nico Rosberg to the team. Please advise.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yes, we're all waiting for please advise. No, of course, Mercedes will have a leap because they were saving some. Let's not forget that they were also saving a little bit. They know 2015 was coming. The biggest problem is now, in 2015, we have to run 4 engines for the entire year. That's insanity. That means all engines will be dialed back until the end of the season. We are getting ripped off as spectators, as fans in Formula One with these ludicrous rules. We should have all the engines we want. We should have as much horsepower as we want, as many cylinders as we want. We've got to change the program.
Well, you know, the F1 bigwigs are talking about 1,000 horsepower engines by 2017. And this is very interesting, and I hope it will take away this Hoover giant sucking sound, you know.
Yes, I hope so too.
Yeah. And you remember when BMW came out with their turbo power, how powerful they were, but not
very. It was crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
And that was a 4-cylinder.
Exactly. And the last time we had power in excess of 1,000 was in 1986, courtesy of BMW power behind the Benettons of Theo Fabi and Gerhard Berger. And one race stands out for me, watching 5 in the morning from 1986. The Austrian Grand Prix from that year. And if anybody wants to take a look at the opening laps where Fabi and Berger were flying through the beautiful Österreichring, it was absolutely fascinating. And the Benetton color was beautiful on the car in those days.
Yes, Benettons used to be beautiful. Oh, those
were the
days.
All Formula cars used to be beautiful, but the design of new cars for 2015 will be less uglier. And main thing in 2015 you've already addressed is the return of the Oviedo Pink Panther to Woking.
Yes, and that's going to be fascinating. You know, the artificial loving, the artificial hugging. All I know is if Fernando isn't giving a quick car, there will be stress in the paddock. I guarantee it. Ron Dennis won't be happy. Fernando won't be happy. Justin Button, he just got married. He's getting nookie. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he got married in Hawaii, so good for him and Miss Shibata.
Yes, good for him. It's going to be fascinating. Now, of course, everybody tells us that Nico Rosberg now has more respect for LCH, so there won't be so much stress in that paddock. So really, the stress that everybody wants and adores to watch is going to be at McLaren Honda. It's going to be fascinating. And I'm telling you, it's not Jenson Button and Fernando. It's going to be Fernando and Ron Dennis. The excitement!
Yeah, you know, McLaren has not had a good car last year. Let's see what happens. I think it's going to take a couple of years for Honda to start winning.
I hope so. I mean, the problem is I know Honda's good. They know what they're doing. you know, the competition is going to be stiff because we know the restructuring at Ferrari, they could only climb out of this hole and go up. There's no way Ferrari is going to get worse.
That thing has become a joke, you know, and the people they have brought in. I think this Mr. Sergio Marchionne is trying to run Ferrari as a, you know, like a marketing tool or as a business tool, like they did with the Toyota F1 program from Cologne. I'm going to miss Luca, let me tell you that.
I'm going to miss Luca. I'm going to miss everybody. But I still think they will become competitive in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting. And let's not forget your favorite driver, Pastor Maldonado, will be powered by Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, you know, he won a race in Spain ahead of Fernando Alonso. So he can get the job done after crashing a few times.
Yes, and he says he doesn't care what people label him.
Yeah, why should he?
Yeah, he doesn't care about the crashado. So he's a tough cookie, thick-skinned, keep up the good work, Pastor. So, no, it's going to be interesting to see how Lotus F1 can do it on their budget because, really, everybody at Williams now say the only thing they're lacking is the big dollars, the long dollar, which Mercedes has, which Red Bull has.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of positive energy flowing in Grove at Team Willy, but I think it's hard to believe that Williams will provide the championship-winning driver this year. But I had a little dream and a fantasy about their two drivers. It would be great if Bottas can get his first win this year and Massa sign off on his F1 career by winning his home race. That'll be very cool.
That would be very cool, but, you know, that's a lot of dreaming. We'll see what happens. You know, there was talk about Fernando going to Williams perhaps to replace Massa. Of course, that was strictly fantasy. But of course, you know the shucking and jiving going on at Mercedes saying if they can't sign LCH, Fernando is the backup plan.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And to this moment, to this episode of F1Weekly.com number 671, LCH still does not have a contract.
Yeah, but Niki Lauda said they will have a contract.
Of course. You know, right now he's in Los Angeles hanging out, you know, with the bling bling.
Say,
what's up?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, you know, to each his own.
I love LA. Hey, he's getting some good tattoos too.
Yeah.
I told him he can get 10% off. He mentions F1 Weekly, but there it is. So, no, it's going to be a great season. I can't wait for February 1st when the cars hit the track at Jerez de la Frontera with a little Tio Pepe.
At the preseason test in Jerez, F1 Weekly was represented by Dr. Miguel and yours truly. So I will have very good memories of those days we were there. And let's see what comes out this time in testing.
Well, obviously all eyes are going to be on Sebastian Vettel and Fernando.
Yes.
That's everybody else is going to be fairly predictable. It's going to be the Honda and it's going to be the Ferrari taking the media by storm. It's going to be exciting. The cameras. I mean, I hope we get good coverage of this over here, which I know we won't, but that's the way it is. I'm very, very excited. I cannot wait. And of course, testing doesn't mean anything. And I predict that McLaren Honda is going to have a lot of the same electrical problems that Renault had last year when they tested at Jerez.
Yeah, it will take time to get the gremlins out and get going. That's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the biggest problem is Honda, this will be their first year with this kind of power unit. It's not really an engine. It's a motor. It's an electric motor. It's batteries. I mean, it's all over the place. There's turbos. The other teams have, this is their second year with this power system. So Honda and McLaren really do have a huge feat ahead of them.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So, Fernando, you have to give it to him. Big attachments for going to McLaren Honda at this stage in his career.
Well, who knows how these cars will perform, but I have a feeling it's going to be like one of those things. Mercedes is 1 second ahead of everybody, and everybody else is starting to be the second best.
That's very possible. You know, I hope not. I remember just a few years ago we were getting a different driver winning each race. It was exciting. It was fun.
Yes, and you know, I'm also looking forward to the season for all the things you mentioned, but I'm also very interested in seeing how Max Verstappen will go against another rookie, Carlos Sainz Jr. at Toro Rosso.
Well, you know, that's going to be the story number two, number three. I think they're both going to be, you know, they're professionals. They have their super license, Nasser. They pass the written and the driving exam. So I think they'll be okay. They'll be quick, depending on how the Toro Rosso is, dependability-wise. But the Toro Rosso was fairly competitive in 2014. They did a good job with the Renault package. They were dependable most of the time and in the top 10. So we all know what Toro Rosso is. It's a place to launch careers. Vettel did it. Ricciardo did it. Let's see who does it in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for Jean-Éric Vergne, but, you know, he's now contracted to Ferrari as a trust driver, and he's already thinking and talking about replacing Kimi Raikkonen next year.
Exactly. I think he's going to put a little sleeping pills in Kimi's Haagen-Dazs.
Or vodka.
Well, the Haagen-Dazs vodka. It's one big thing.
Yeah.
So, no, we'll see, you know, Kimi Raikkonen. Ferrari have so many other problems. Their drivers are really not going to be the focal point. It's going to be their car, their aerodynamic package, and their engine. If it's good, and if Vettel can adapt, because let's not forget, Vettel complained that he couldn't adapt to the car as quickly as Ricciardo did. Ricciardo jumped in, and it was good for him. Vettel was complaining, you know, it was a little bit like Rubinho.
Yeah, so, the only difference is this guy has won four championships.
That's very true. I was also going to mention Sebastian Bourdais, who complained about the Toro Rosso not meeting his sensitive needs.
Oh, yeah. And talking of these things, Rubinho especially, he will be racing at the Daytona 24 Hours later this month, so that's good.
Yeah, he was ahead in testing, so cut him some slack, Nasser.
Okay, sir.
All right, so there you have it. You know, me and Rubinho are very, very close.
Yes. Shall we talk a little bit about car launches?
Yeah, car launches are coming up. I know some of the big teams have already produced a date.
Well, January 29th is when we can see the first new 2015 car, and this will be online. McLaren will publish images of its 2015 car, and Ferrari will do the same with the very next day, which would be January 30th. And the first preseason test is on February 1st, and you already mentioned where it will be. So that's all exciting, you know.
Yes, exciting. February 1st is the Super Bowl as well, Nasser.
Oh, good.
I know you're pumped up about that.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, no, it's very exciting, and, you know, I just can't wait. But I've been following Dakar. Very exciting. I was hoping my Peugeots would pull out a win, but apparently the Mini Cooper is the dominant vehicle.
Yes, and my Middle Eastern cousin may win the rally for the second time.
Yes, he could have it in the bag by the time this podcast is published.
Exactly.
But still a lot of fun. Everybody's happy down in Bolivia, Argentina, blah, blah, blah. It's a great race. Produces a lot of pictures, a lot of fun. Unfortunately, one driver died, but these things happen.
Yeah. And you know, another thing I'm very excited about in the news, Ford recently unveiled their new Ford GT car at the Detroit Auto Show, and now the rumors are that they are planning to make another assault at Le Mans in a few years. And that program from the 1960s is one of my favorite stories of motor racing, you know, how they put together this program, and they get all the best drivers from around the world, and then won the race, I think, 4 years in a row, including A.J. Foyt and Dan Gurney winning the Le Mans as co-drivers.
Correct. Very exciting years, but the problem is there was big motivation from Ferrari and Ferrari's anti-Ford stance, blah, 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 and the battle between Ferrari and Ford. That was an exciting duo. I don't know if they could bring that back to life in the same kind of fashion. Because Le Mans has changed so much since the 60s, but still an exciting race. And it's going to be exciting. Nico Hülkenberg, he's going to be at Le Mans for Porsche.
Of course, that even Nando will be there, but I don't think he can. He will drive anything but a Honda Civic there.
A Honda CVCC.
There you go.
Controlled Vortex Combustion Chamber.
Is that what it stood for?
Of course, Nasser. Very good stuff. I'm excited. Any other good news on the motorsport front, Nasser?
Well, you know, how times have changed. Like you were talking about Le Mans from the 60s. In 2015, which is this year, there will be 16 days of testing. In 2005, there were 255 days of testing. Just remember when Ferrari was testing all the time?
Oh, yeah. Well, they were testing. Bridgestone was testing. I mean, it was a constant Bridgestone and Ferrari and Schumacher became one monstrous winning machine.
Absolutely.
And testing helps winning.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Another exciting news is the nation of Qatar, also known as Qatar and Qatar, which is, of course, a new hotbed of motorsports like Azerbaijan. They are trying to pay Formula One management the largest ever sanctioning fee to hold a race in the Losail area, which is where they already have a track, which is hosting nighttime MotoGP racing. So this is what oil and gas in your country will do, that you have a very ultra-modern facility, but you want to pay $50 million to stage a street race. Good for them.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm waiting for Yemen to throw their bid in.
Well, I was really looking forward to the Somali Grand Prix.
Well, the Somali Grand Prix is going to be great. Right there on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they're going to be pirates and stuff. It's going to be fun. Very exciting.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a strange world out there. And, of course, I know you were sad and really bummed out about the news that the Korean Grand Prix has now been removed from the schedule.
Oh, man, I had to run to the refrigerator and open my jar of kimchi to feel good.
I like the spicy kimchi myself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's quality first.
Talking about being sad, I mean, Jean-Pierre Beltoise passed away a few days ago, which was very sad.
Very. A very, very great guy. You did a fantastic interview with him on podcast number 329. If you just Google F1 Weekly and podcast 329, you will get the interview, which is an outstanding interview. Keep up the good work, Nasser. But, yeah, no, great story, great talent. And if you're going to win, you might as well win in Monaco.
Yeah, that was his only win. And he was instrumental in the Matra racing success because in 1965, they were having some issues whether to continue or not. And he won a Formula 3 race at Vannes or Reims. And then the Matra people said, okay, let's keep going. And, of course, yeah, ended up winning Le Mans 3 years in a row. And Jean-Pierre Beltoise, he was married to the sister of François Sivet.
Great, great history.
I have some good news for Mr. Brazier.
I need some good news.
When I interviewed Jean-Pierre Beltoise at his kart facility, racing track facility near Paris, his second son, I think his name is Julien Beltoise, he was there. And I asked him, I remember him racing at some time also. So I asked him, you know, what series did you race and who did you race against? Because I was in Formula 3 with so-and-so drivers, and one of the names he mentioned was Jenson Button. So I asked him how good was Jenson Button. He said, I could never beat him. He was just very good and very quick.
Yeah, but you know who was driving in Formula 3 when Jenson Button was in Formula 3?
Tell me.
Danica Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been a great couple, huh? Jenson and Danica.
No, I think Mark Webber and Danica would be a fantastic couple.
I think Fernando and Danica would be a fantastic couple.
Yeah, Fernando has now dissed his Russian Davushka. He's now, I think, dating some hot Spanish journalist or something like that.
Yeah, he rotates every 2 years.
Oh, wow. It's like a lease program.
It's exactly, you know. It's like the old the Buick Electra 225 program. You always turned it in every 2 years to get a fresh one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonder if there's any cap on mileage.
Well, sometimes they're used, but they still look great.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Especially on Grand Prix days.
Thank you very much. So, no, I cannot wait for February 1st. It's going to be exciting. and I've got to empty out my DVR, get rid of 2014, and get ready for 2015. Fun, fun, fun. And, of course, we're going to have fun with NASCAR. There's always good stuff with the Assassins. I predict somebody in NASCAR is going to say their wife is a member of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You believe that?
Yeah, this is really going in a fantastic direction.
It is going in a fantastic direction. But nevertheless, it is what it is.
I have an idea. You know, you can go and buy calendars like NASCAR Pets. Maybe they should have, you know, NASCAR's Assassins.
Maybe they do. Maybe some Assassins now will have the NASCAR logo on their, you know, their ninja uniform.
And, you know, just like we have teams like Samba and Tango, they can have a team like Blondes and Bombs. Wow.
I like Blondes and Bombs. Is that Bonds or Bombs?
Bombs, B-O-M-B-S.
Oh, like bomb, 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 Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Got it. So anything else new on the front or?
No, just been busy with work and, you know, enjoying some, a lot of actually on YouTube racing action, sometimes old Formula 3, sometimes old Formula 2. So I try to keep myself busy with motorsports even when the F1 season is off.
Okay, well, don't forget the one that really works every time, Dijon 79.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And what about calendars? Do you have any left?
Yes,
should left. People continue to order?
Yes, but we've done very well, and thank you to everybody who ordered.
So we'll be able to get that kitchen remodel done in the Palatial Studios after all.
Yes.
Fantastic! So keep up the good work, Nasser. You know, I'm excited. You're excited. And let's hear from some of the listeners. We need emails.
Yeah, especially about who they think will win the 2015 championship after a couple of test sessions.
That's a good idea. I know who, you know, I mean, Fernando's got to win that, right?
I certainly hope so because it's Honda and I do like Honda.
Yes, and you know what they say, you meet the nicest people on a Honda.
Yes.
So, no, I'm very excited. Nas, I want to thank you once again for a fantastic 10 years of F1Weekly.com. And, of course, once again, Happy New Year. I want to thank the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.